Just in my own little microcosm, I'm seeing that everyone is on edge. If it isn't the pandemic, then it's job loss, or it's air quality, or climate change, or catastrophic wildfires, or political turmoil, or homeschooling, or all of the above and more. I am appreciating the people in my life who are willing to express their fears and tell me how they are feeling. I don't have any answers for anyone, but sometimes just sharing yourself with someone takes a little of the doom and gloom away. Today we're going to focus on ways to relax, tips for finding some calm amidst the chaos. And I hope there are a few ideas in here that inspire you to take a little time each and every day for relaxing and finding some joy. Our first article is titled 28 Fresh Ways to Relax and is written by Charlene Brakey, and this was published in the August 2020 Real Simple magazine. Take a break to stop and recenter during an overflowing day. The science is straightforward. Spending a moment being mindful and breathing makes you more productive, more optimistic, and happier, says Olav Kriggelsen, PhD, a neuroscientist at the University of Victoria in British Columbia, Canada. So we went digging for inspiration, asking experts, influencers, and readers how they steal their little moments of solace. We unearthed a gold mine of soothing strategies drawn from the worlds of cooking, science, education, nature, and more that can bring calm and restore a sense of order to our lives. Come to your senses. Between clients, I try to engage all my senses. I might step outside to see the clouds or art hanging in a gallery window, and to smell a flower or the crisp air after a rainfall. I'll hug a soft velvet pillow while taking deep, slow breaths and tune in to the birds chirping outside my office. And that comes from Lori Gottlieb, a psychotherapist and the author of Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. Do cooking karaoke. A staple of my daily routine is to sing while I cook dinner, and it's especially healing when I've had a tough day. I plug in my speaker, find anything from Lizzo to Earth, Wind, and Fire, and start singing loudly. My kitchen performance makes me come alive and channel my inner Mariah or Beyonce. And that comes from Dana Isom Johnson, an Etsy trend expert and judge on NBC's Making It. Get bored, then blissed. When I'm feeling overloaded, I'll take a jog without music or podcasts. The first 15 minutes with no distraction is torture, but after that, my mind goes into a meditative, problem-solving fugue state. The clomping of my sneakers and rhythm of my breath lull me mentally, and I start to work on problems or come up with unexpected notions. That comes from Manoush Zomorodi, creator and host of the podcast Zigzag, and author of Bored and Brilliant. Draw it out. Recently, while visiting family, which is always a little stressful, I started playing around with my nephew's paint sticks. Moving my hands and watching how the colors overlaid one another helped put my mind at ease. This from Rebecca Atwood, a designer and artist in Brooklyn, New York. Tidy your tote. Nothing calms me like dumping out my purse on the kitchen counter, reorganizing everything, and putting it all back in perfect, pristine order. Anytime I feel overwhelmed, I just open my freshly organized purse and get a little shot of hope. It feels like a microcosm of life. If I can reclaim control of my purse, I can do anything. That comes from Kathy Geiswhite, creator of the Kathy cartoon strip and author of 50 Things That Aren't My Fault. Just veg. I go to the local farmer's market and nerd out looking at beautiful produce. I especially love it when a new season takes over and beautifully blossoming sugar snap peas, tender asparagus, and ramps replace winter root vegetables. Or when a vendor hands me a slice of apple to taste when fall arrives. It makes me feel connected to the seasons and my community, the farmers, my neighbors, and other chefs buying for their restaurants. That from Melissa King, a Top Chef winner. Dive in, literally or virtually. You know that feeling of deep calm that sweeps over you when you step up to the edge of the Atlantic, a lake, or even a pool? Water has an immediate calming effect. Do whatever works. Taking a long swim or blissing out in a flotation therapy device will have the most impact, but you can also just listen to the sounds of a babbling creek, stare at a fountain outside during lunchtime, or watch a live feed from an aquarium. Even looking at a photo of the sea can do the trick. That from Wallace J. Nichols, PhD, a marine biologist and the author of Blue Mind. Leave room for a view. Our house looks out over a mountain. It's so easy to take it for granted that when we moved in, a neighbor advised me to notice how different the view is every day. Years later, I still step out my front door before everyone else is up, breathe in the warm or crisp air, and study how some new shadow or slant of the sun changes the landscape. It's an awesome way to start the day. That comes from Dina Heisler, a fundraiser for Catholic Charities of Central Colorado. Take the plunge. When I'm on the ice, my adrenaline is pumping and my blood is flowing from the competition, so it's hard to come down. We do 8-minute cold plunges in the locker room, which cool the body, stop inflammation, and bring us to a more restful state. In the off-season, I still like to take a cold shower when I'm anxious and need to hit my reset button. That comes from Hillary Knight, a forward on the United States women's national hockey team. Do busy work. No way can I ever slow down enough to meditate in the midst of managing brides and vendors, but I get baby resets if I tackle some small household thing that keeps my hands occupied while giving my mind a rest from the computer. Especially in challenging times, a mundane task, like cooking an easy dinner for myself, or, my favorite, folding a pile of laundry, doesn't feel like a chore. It quiets my mind. This from Jacqueline Halgarth, a wedding planner and the owner of Jacqueline Halgarth Events. Craft a candle. I make beeswax candles this time of year to put away for winter. You just buy sheets of beeswax and candle wicks, cut them to the size you want, fold the wax over the wick, and roll them until they're the thickness of your candlestick. These kinds of seasonal tasks are simple and tactile and bring you back into your body. That's from Julia Watkins, author of Simply Living Well. Have tea time. When I need a break from the computer, I get out a tray and other tea things and sit in my parlor as if I were in Downton Abbey. I make a ritual of preparing a cup using really good loose tea. That break has made late afternoon the most productive part of my day. This from Beth Howard, a journalist and antiques dealer in Charlotte, North Carolina. Make the call. I take 5 minutes to call a friend. Yes, call. I expect they likely won't answer, so I'm ready with a fun voicemail message like, "Nothing's wrong, you just popped into my mind." I think of it as a little love note, and when I'm feeling alone or stressed, spending that minute thinking about my friends reminds me that I too am loved, and it helps my brain. That came from Shasta Nelson, author of The Business of Friendship. Blaze a clean path. When I'm wound up from a long day of wrangling teenagers, I like to vacuum. I don't know if it's the rhythmic movement, the white noise, or the path it makes on the rug, but my anxiety melts away as I complete the task. That comes from Lara Prasinski, a high school English and journalism teacher in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Pick a page. I've read every book on my shelves already, so if I choose a random one and read an arbitrary page or two, it transports me to when I first read it and reminds me of the joy it brought me. I just picked one up this morning, and suddenly I was walking through a park headed to rehearse A Midsummer Night's Dream. That comes from Allison McGonigal Miller, bakery team leader at Whole Foods Market in New Jersey. Cuddle kitties. I foster kittens who have lost their moms and need someone to do the simplest thing to keep them alive, provide food, warmth, and stability. When I care for them, all the nonsense falls away, and I'm tasked with making sure the little guys take in enough formula to get to the next feeding. It reminds me to keep it simple. All of it. That from Ann Jorgensen-Green, Special Assistant Attorney General and Director of Legal Services at North Dakota Workforce Strategy, Safety and Insurance. Don't hug a tree, stare at the branches. Brainwave tests show that looking at complex, repetitive patterns called fractals has the same effect as meditating. In a forest, you'll find fractal patterns everywhere, in the branching of ferns and trees, in gnarled roots, in intersecting streams and waterfalls, in fluffy clouds. It's called effortless looking, and it happens subconsciously. Those fractal patterns pour into our brain and relax us completely. There are even fractals in some artwork, like the splatter paintings of Jackson Pollock. That comes from Richard Taylor, PhD, head of the physics department at the University of Oregon. Watch the pot. On my busiest days, I'll make myself one promise, to watch the kettle boil. Doing nothing but concentrating on the boil is an easy way to weave in a pause. For that brief time, I'll be consumed with all the intricate and changing noises, the light of the flame, the vibration, the bubbles, the steam. That comes from Ali Raf Farrar, author of The Wellfulness Project and a co-founder of The Remedy Retreats, a yoga and mindfulness company. Tune in, tune out. One day when I was desperate for some background music that wasn't depressing, I stumbled on the French cooking music channel while browsing Pandora. Right away, I thought of Julia Child, who always settles me down, and it's been my escape music ever since. The vibe is relaxed, there are no sad lyrics, that I understand, and the touches of accordion teleport me to Europe. That from Remy Koth, a political activist and graduate student at the Robert F. Wagner Graduate School of Public Service at New York University. Be a gamer. At the end of a stressful day, I work on a locked inpatient unit, I play Super Mario Brothers on my kid's Nintendo. It takes me back to my youth when playing with my neighbors was the happiest time in my life. That from Maura Dodgney, a psychiatric clinician in Fairfield, Connecticut. Take a forest bath. We invite people to slow down, to notice all that is present, to tune in to a leaf skipping along, a branch swaying, a bird hopping, or even the motion of wind on your cheek. Concentrating so deeply in nature makes you feel still, focused, happier. That comes from Christy Thompson, director of Wild Communion, a nature retreat. Be puzzled. Doing crosswords, I spend 15 minutes with an app or the paper every day, is incredibly calming. Sure, it can be frustrating, but I found that having a hard problem I know can eventually be solved is mentally comforting. Plus, it consumes all your focus, and being that absorbed gives a reset. That from Adrian Raphael, author of Thinking Inside the Box. Wake with the dawn. Whenever possible, I walk through dew-covered grass, when half the world is falling back asleep, to notice the details that exist only while the sun is slowly getting to its feet. Look closely and gently at things, because they are surely looking at you, waiting to see whether you settle your eyes on the ordinary and mundane and call it miraculous. That from Ella Frances Sanders, author of Eating the Sun, Small Musings on a Vast Universe. Get some guidance. High school students need to learn how to handle anxiety, so I teach them square breathing. Imagine a square with a dot in the middle. Exhale and move the dot to one side of the square. Then inhale and move the dot to the next side of the square and repeat. I watch their shoulders relax and their breathing slow, and then they stand up, smile, and go on their way. That from Krista Promnitz, Assistant Head of Upper School and Dean of Student Services at Pinecrest School in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Plant yourself. Sometimes I snip bits from the succulent plants in my backyard and create arrangements for friends. It's always soothing to garden, but even more so when my brain is filled with warm thoughts about giving to friends. That from Catherine Ravitch, a stay-at-home mom in Pacific Palisades, California. hit the right note. Every couple of hours, I take a short break with my guitar, a relaxing timeout for anyone who plays. But sometimes I try an instrument I'm not familiar with because I found that it gives me empathy. Being so far outside my comfort zone helps me return to work with a new perspective and clearer intentions. That from Jeff Brakey, a sound engineer and producer, and the owner of Good Wolf Music. Find your meditation style. If I had to recommend one way to press pause, it would be to download a meditation app and commit to 15 minutes a day, says Spring Washam, author of A Fierce Heart and founder of a center that brings mindfulness practices to a diverse community in Oakland, California. You can put in earbuds and do it almost anywhere. Best of all, there's an app for everyone. For families, My Life Meditation. With different features for adults and kids, this app uses cute animations to help you tune in to your emotions, then suggests guided exercises to target feelings from sadness to happiness and more. And it is free for iOS and Android. For independent types, Insight Timer. Like Spotify for mindfulness experts, this app aggregates thousands of meditations, so you have your choice of voices, lengths, and topics. This is also free for iOS and Android. For skeptics, 10% happier. No whispery New Age voices here. In a hearty baritone, ABC News anchor Dan Harris offers no-nonsense daily meditations. This is $99 per year with a one-week free trial and available on iOS and Android. For insomniacs, Calm. This app has it all, but we really love its sleep section. Soothing narrators read fiction and nonfiction bedtime stories for kids and adults. $70 per year with a one-week free trial available for iOS and Android. For creatives, Happy Not Perfect. Gorgeous videos and photos accompany breathing exercises and irreverent meditations. $12 per month, iOS and Android. We're going to switch tempo just briefly here and stick in a COVID article. I don't really want to do a whole half hour on COVID because we get COVIDed every day. But here is what I thought was a helpful short article called Flu versus COVID, Ways to Identify Symptoms and Differences. This was written by Alina Dizek for the Wall Street Journal and published on September 14th, 2020. As the autumn flu season approaches, while the COVID-19 pandemic continues, cold weather sniffles are likely to provoke even more anxiety than usual. Some symptoms of flu, as well as colds and other autumn ailments, are similar to COVID's, making it harder to know what's wrong. Fever, dry cough, fatigue, and body aches are common with both the flu and COVID. If you're concerned, call your doctor. And there are some ways to try to recognize the differences. Here's what doctors say. Can you differentiate between illnesses by tracking your fever? Fever is common in COVID-19 and also likely to appear with the flu and other viruses. But fevers that result from the novel coronavirus tend to come on stronger and cause chills and major discomfort, even if they don't climb far past 100.4 degrees, says Panagis Galiatzeros, a physician in pulmonary and critical care medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in Baltimore. COVID-19 fevers are not subtle, he says. Look beyond the number to see how the fever is making you feel. Does the speed of onset vary between COVID-19 and flu? How quickly you come down with symptoms may be telling for some people, especially for those who can pinpoint their day of exposure. Coronavirus symptoms often come on suddenly around day 5 to 7, but it can appear as long as 14 days after exposure. Those who have the flu tend to experience symptoms 1 to 4 days after exposure, says Molly Fleece, an infectious disease specialist at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. If you're staying home to monitor your symptoms, what are the signs that might point to COVID-19? As the virus progresses, it can be easier to tell whether it's COVID-19 or another illness, says Ben Singer, pulmonary and critical care specialist at Northwestern Medicine in Chicago. Among the most telltale indications of COVID-19 are shortness of breath, pneumonia, and continued fever. If people are at home monitoring their symptoms, the thing to look out for is that things are generally getting worse, Dr. Singer says. Sneezing and a stuffy nose are often associated with a cold. Can nasal congestion be a sign of COVID-19? Yes, but it's like less likely. The good news is that most colds start with nasal congestion, but it's not one of the primary symptoms of a COVID-19, says Dr. Fleece. A stuffy nose is also less worrisome if that's the only symptom you have, she adds. Having COVID-19 with just a runny nose is probably unlikely, she adds. Another symptom that's more prevalent with a cold, a wet cough where phlegm is involved. On the other hand, a dry cough or especially a loss of smell or taste can be symptomatic of COVID-19, she adds. How important is it that I get a flu shot this year? It is very important. Even if you do get sick with the flu, the vaccine can lessen the duration and severity of the illness. That helps keep you out of the ER, decreasing the strain on the healthcare system when doctors are trying to fight COVID. And your getting vaccinated helps prevent the spread to others, including infants and other medically vulnerable people who can't get a flu shot. Will this year's flu shot help boost immunity for COVID-19? There's no evidence that the flu vaccine can help protect you from COVID-19, but generally, vaccines strengthen, not weaken, the immune system, says David Boyther, Chief Medical Information Officer at National Jewish Health in Denver. The more you've been vaccinated in recent years, the better trained your immune system is. Will getting the flu shot make it easier to tell the difference between flu and COVID-19? Whether you've had your flu shot will be one of the top questions physicians ask in screening for COVID-19 symptoms, helping doctors make a correct diagnosis. The flu shot is really important this year, says Dr. Boyther. It can significantly reduce your chance of influenza and reduce the chance that you'll be in this conundrum. Does having the flu make you more vulnerable to COVID-19? Can you get them at the same time? It's possible that having a severe case of flu could make you more vulnerable to another illness, including COVID, says Dr. Galliot Sados. But since COVID is so new, not much is known about how one might affect the other. If you do happen to get both flu and COVID at the same time, your illness may be more severe. A second viral infection might warrant closer monitoring of a patient for deterioration, says Dr. Boyther. During flu season, most people will be tested for multiple viruses, including COVID-19, to help doctors gain a clearer picture, he adds. What can you glean from local health data to better evaluate your symptoms? Local health departments often post data about a variety of illnesses to help medical providers. Along with the flu, looking at increases for other viruses in your area, including RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, and parainfluenza, can make it easier to interpret symptoms, says James Cherry, a professor at the David Geffen School of Medicine at University of California, Los Angeles. You have to think about epidemiology and what else is around now, he says. And we will go back to the relaxing part. We go to a magazine called Breathe, and this is a special. It doesn't say. It was printed in 2020, and this article does not have any author attributed to it, but here we go. Smooth out the tension. My first ever job involved ironing. Like many teenagers, I longed to be more independent and earn my own money. So before I was old enough to babysit or work at the local store, I would iron my parents' clothes in exchange for cash. On Sunday evenings, I'd set up in front of the television and work my way through the piles of clothes, prepping them for the week ahead. I found the process of smoothing out the fabric rather relaxing and got a sense of satisfaction from seeing a line of crease-free shirts hanging in front of me. Once I had my proper Saturday job in place, I gave up the ironing for money and, in fact, ironing altogether. Having always worked in creative jobs, I've rarely needed a uniform of crisp suits, and for the most part of my 20s, I didn't really care about a few wrinkles. Over the past few years, however, my thoughts on this have changed. I've discovered a newfound appreciation for organization and find that order in a physical space also benefits my mental one. From being a floor drobe fan, yes, that's clothes all over the floor, and chair devotee, a storage system for the overflow of items too clean for the laundry but too dirty to put back in the wardrobe, I've become someone who prides themselves on meticulously arranged drawers. Looking after my belongings is now, well, important. While organization is crucial, caring for individual items, whether that's by washing them carefully or ironing, is imperative too. Beyond that, I've noticed the process of ironing brings its own benefits. Enjoying might not be the right word, but it's certainly relaxing. And focusing on one task for 15 or 30 minutes can feel calming when so much work feels like flitting between tasks and jumping between the multiple tabs open in my brain. I would even argue that life admin is the real meaning of self-care. Forget extravagant spa days or expensive candles. Looking after yourself by being organized instills a level of self-respect. There's a tendency among some to want to outsource many domestic tasks. With some apps, you can arrange for unironed clothes to be collected and then returned home, crease-free. But you overlook or underestimate these jobs at your peril. When I put a call out on social media about ironing, I was overwhelmed by the response from my fellow ironing fans. It's simple, mindless, has fabulous results, and lets my brain meander while my hands are busy, one woman told me. I work full-time and commute long hours, but I still make time for ironing. It always feels like a small luxury, plus a bit of a victory that I managed to get it done. I find the act of ironing an easy, mindful activity and a good way to switch off from work and brain overload. You just focus on the seams, creases, and water top-ups, someone else concurred. One woman also told me how she's found ironing helpful in dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. I use ironing as a grounding technique for my PTSD. And I hope you can relax with some of these ideas, and I thank you for tuning in to Sound Body. Stay well and come back next week for more healthy living ideas.